Yaman. Good morning. Welcome to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. It's going to be a great day to get some stuff done in and around your house, but dress accordingly because it will be warm. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Ernie. How are you on this wonderful, dapper day?
Dandy.
Dandy. I haven't heard that in a while.
Dandy.
I like that. Dandy. Yep. Crocodile Dandy. That's you, brother. What do you think? Where are we? It's summer. It's been hot.
It's too early to think. It's too hot to think.
I know that.
I think you're going to be surprised. The other day, my wife Lisa was working out in the yard. It was getting close to dinner, and she said, "Well, why don't you try tackling some grilling?"
Whoa.
And you manned
the grill?
I manned the grill for a little while and managed not to burn the brats and mets and dogs and stuff. But I should have taken a picture. But I asked her yesterday, I said, "We're going to have you vouch for me if Tony decides not to believe me." But it really was pretty tasty.
Good deal. I think that I have seen you once before at the grill.
Yes.
And it was a photograph that you had sent to me. You know, now, Ernie, this might have been three or four years ago. You're right. You know, when we start saying that, we've been around here for about 7 years. And years ago, you're right. Mm-hmm. And if I remember correctly, too, you were, I don't know, you got the ugliest legs, man. You were wearing a pair of shorts. I think I maybe had even commented that I've seen a better pair of legs than a bucket of chicken.
A bucket of chicken. That's exactly what it was. Yeah.
So you were on a grill again.
That's good. Yeah. And of course, there's going to be a lot of people doing some grilling this weekend. It's Father's Day weekend. We have some last minute tip ideas or idea tips for you.
How about some gifts?
Gifts.
Yeah.
Tips. You know, some beef tips on the grill would be good.
Nothing wrong with that either.
And of course, it's a great day to. Tony's fortunate enough still has the old boy around, his dad, and my dad has been long gone. But it's one of those weekends where it should give you cause to take a moment and spend some time with the old man.
Certainly,
you know,
and that's been a for me, it's been a very cherished moment having the opportunity to work alongside with the old boy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, he's one moody dude, but that's okay. I'm telling you, he's one moody kind of cat.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it's fun. I can push his buttons.
Sure.
Get him around, a little wound up. He was trying to get me started yesterday, but that's a whole other topic in itself.
And our friend Margie from Buscheman Supply is going to be joining us.
That she is.
And we have a giveaway.
That we do. A $100 gift card to Buscheman Supply. And in addition to that, a $100 gift card from Jackson Florist and Garden Center. It's going to be like a little $100 package from Buscheman, a $100 package from Jackson's for our Father's Day drawing.
Wonderful.
What do you think about that?
I love that.
Not a bad gig.
Mm-mm. And with both of those gifts from Buscheman Supply and from Jackson, it opens the door for you to spend some time with the old boy.
That's right. A nice way to just have something on deck to, if in fact your dad wants to start a project, doesn't have to be right away.
Mm-hmm.
The gift cards are good until whenever. You know, that's it. Talk about gift cards. That's something that gets my goat. You know, they kind of decrement them with like a little $1.50 unused fee.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Are they still allowed to do that?
I don't know.
I
usually burn through mine right away. It's just as bad as money in my pocket. It burns a hole in it.
Interesting. I was just curious. I thought that there was something passed that they're not allowed to do that.
They may not.
But you know, a lot of big companies make a ton of money just on that unused portion of that gift card.
Mm-hmm.
And it might just be a mere amount of cents. 60 cents, 30 cents.
Common sense.
Common sense. And that all adds up. You need that. Right?
That's right. Here's what you got to look forward to this weekend for Father's Day weekend. Today is going to be hot. It is going to be up around 90 today with a lot of sunshine, some clouds drifting in because we will see some showers on Father's Day, but it will cool things down to around 85. And then it's a little more manageable Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, temperatures climbing to the 80s as we get ready for the work weekend. Of course, isn't that the case? Rain on the weekend. Beautiful weather when you go back to work.
What's wrong with that? I agree with you. You know, next week, early next week, low 80s, you can't get any better than that.
No.
And talking about temperatures, too, we're going to also put some emphasis on how important it is to pay attention to what the temperatures are when we're trying to get rid of some unwanted pesky weeds in the lawn or in the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
Because once we push that 85-degree mark, it's good night, Irene. Don't even get the stuff out. Don't even spray.
So, you know, that sets this up perfectly because it's going to rain on Sunday, on Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
But temperatures will drop down to 80 on Monday, or will only climb up to 80 and then 82. So you have 2 days to get that product down.
That's right. You know, even better, you mentioned the rain. Everybody's happy. It's always a great idea to spray for unwanted weeds or broadleaf weeds, whatever it is that's troubling you in the lawn or in the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And when everybody gets a little drink or a watering, everyone's happy.
Right.
And those products are even more effective, believe it or not, versus it just being, you know, hot and dry for a long period of time and then spraying.
Right.
When things get a drink, it's more effective, believe it or not. You wouldn't think that, would you?
No. But if you were going to, let's kind of stay on topic there with the lawn. If you're going to cut the lawn today, cut your grass today, you'll get a little rain tomorrow. Then on Monday, you could treat it for weeds or unwanted creatures creeping in.
Absolutely.
And that would be a perfect scenario for you.
And kind of be on the lookout, too. You might, crabgrass is starting to make its way. It's been making its way, but you're probably starting to notice a little bit of crabgrass activity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something else is probably not far away either, and I've yet to see any of this. We're still early in the game, although we're approaching the tail end of June, but it's that old troublesome nutsedge.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's another one that plagues a lot of people and gets into the lawn and looks rather gnarly and easily identifiable when you see it outpace the rest of the turf. It grows a lot quicker. It's lighter in color. Nine times out of ten, it's probably nutsedge. Easy to identify.
Mm-hmm.
So I've not seen any of that stuff yet. Have you or...
No, I haven't seen any nutsedge.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. I've seen a lot of clover. A lot of clover.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's something that once it gets in, you know, that's a tough perennial weed to get rid of. Now, it's only a weed if you don't want it. Remember that.
That's right.
You know, or anything that you don't want is a weed or it's a problem. And there's a lot of people who are perfectly fine and content with clover in their lawns or yards.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that has to do with the bees.
Right.
Which I have something to add later on. I read an article the other day about a new product that was introduced or being introduced by Bayer.
Mm-hmm.
That's called, I think the product's called Altus, and it is bee friendly.
Bee friendly.
It's an herbicide. It's an insecticide. I'm sorry. An insecticide that's bee friendly.
Uh huh.
What do you think about that?
I love that. And
so
we'll be coming back to talk a little bit more about that in just a few minutes. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys, when we return.
We're going to talk about bee friendly. How's that? You just said it.
We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. It is Father's Day weekend, and if you're really looking to help Dad out, maybe get to the house and do a little yard work for him. And then maybe giving him a gift or something. But before we went into the break, we were talking about some clover and how to handle some of the clover issues if it bugs you.
And we talked about how it attracts bumblebees and so forth. So a lot of people are very favorable when it comes to having clover in their lawn or in their yards. But that's okay. But I was just the other day I was reading something about a newer product, which is an insecticide. That, you know, there's a lot of concern that we all have with our bumblebee populations and so forth, all the honeybees.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a newer product out there that was just recently introduced and is probably right now going to be more for the grower or the growing environment, production environment for people who are licensed, individuals who are able to spray with certain chemicals and so forth as they're growing product throughout the course of the spring season.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular product's called Altus. I don't know if it's going to really hit the homeowner's market or the consumer market at any point in time soon. But it's a newer type of insecticide that there isn't, according to it, very little minimum effect on bumblebees in the bee population. Good. So that's really good to know that we're progressing and moving forward, where we have some products out there that will control things like aphids, some of the whitefly, psyllids and scale and so forth. And that's so important that we can turn a corner and become more responsible and put out these better products that are just as effective as the older products that had some, maybe negative effect. So, and that's always still to be proven in a lot of ways. I know that I hear a lot of people say that, for example, imidacloprid, that it can be detrimental to bees. There's a lot of people say no, that it's not. But it's always important that we follow and read the labels and use our products accordingly to how it's stated on the label. More is not always better. Always refrain from spraying things or going after problems when some of our plants are still in bloom, because that's definitely when insects, beneficial pollinators and so forth, are busy and they're doing their thing. So, but this new product, Altus, I'm kind of interested to see what comes around the corner down the road, for lack of a better term. I think we're moving in the right direction. I just want to bring that up, and I'm encouraged when I hear things like that.
Sure, sure. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Great way to stay connected with us is to jump onto our Facebook page. Our friend Margie from Bushelman Supply is going to be in later today, and we also want to remind you to go on to B105.com. and register for the Father's Day gift card giveaway. We're going to have $100 from Jackson Florist and a $100 gift card from Bushelman Supply to make Dad very happy. But you've got to go to B105.com, click on the In and Around the House page, and get registered. We're going to draw for the winner on Monday. So has it been busy down at the shop?
You know, oddly enough, it has been, even though it's been a little on the warm side. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we, as well as everybody else that has a garden center, we're always bringing in new, fresh material. You know, when I say that, I'm talking about annuals and perennials, trees and shrubs. So it although we're warming up a little bit, think about it. Next week's going to be really nice, and we can still plant a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. The season's not over. I mean, we can plant all season long, even going into the fall when it's even more or better suitable. More better. I didn't say more better. I did not say more better. I was on a bad habit with that at one time. But a lot of season ahead of us. So get out to your local garden centers and nurseries and see what's going on. Pick up some plants. If you've yet to do it, no, don't fret, because there's a lot of stuff still available. And speaking of, you know, you're asking me what's going on at Jackson Florist and Garden Center. We're gearing up for our annual penny sale, which starts next Saturday, the 24th.
Ooh.
So that's kind of like the pinnacle of the middle part of the season. Yes, the penny sale. That's where you buy one item at regular price, and you can buy something of equal or lesser value for a penny. And that will include all annuals, perennials, trees, and shrubs.
Wow.
Not a bad gig.
No, no.
So,
and I'm sure there are similar sales and great benefits with all the other local leaders, our local garden centers, independently owned and operated. Make sure that you go visit them and take advantage of this.
A lot of stuff going on. You know, you're speaking like you were asking me what else has been going on at the garden center. Right now, we're like, most of us were in cruise control, so to speak, because, you know, we're seeing a lot of customers, homeowners coming in, and they're being plagued with some issues now. You know, now that we're in the middle of the growing season, you know, we're talking about our vegetables and tomato plants. And something recently that's really cropped up is magnolia scale. You know, that's a little insect that plagues our magnolia shrubs.
Mm-hmm.
And it can get quite ugly and scale. Unless you really know what you're looking for, scale can sometimes be hard to identify, because they're like little raised bumps that are on the stems and trunks of some of our magnolia shrubs. And over time, what they do, you know, they're soft-bodied, but they'll harden and form like a shell,
mm-hmm.
which makes them difficult to get rid of. And especially after they start stacking on top of one another, layering on top of one another, makes it a little more difficult to get rid of them as well. And you can usually spot these guys if you look closely at the trunk or the stems of your magnolia shrubs. Or another telltale sign is if you start seeing some sticky stuff on the leaves, a shiny, sticky substance, mm-hmm. which is the honeydew excretions from the scale, the insect. And a lot of times ants like that. You know, you might see a lot of ant activity because it's kind of sweet to the ants. Or sometimes you'll see where some of the foliage is starting to get a black, sooty-looking type of mold on it. So those are telltale signs of insect activity, especially scale, magnolia scale, that it's prevalent, it's present. And right now you'll see a lot of white blotches. It has its soft body right now on the stems of your plants, and very easy to go after. There's various things that you can do. And if you're starting to see it in that stage, a lot of times I like to use some of the horticultural oils,
okay.
which work extremely well, but there's certain times to do that, and right now it's not the best time to do it because it's really warm, and I really caution people about using oils during the middle part of summer because you can do more harm than good. But right now, you know, look for malathion and go after this, guys, and spray a little thoroughly on the stems or the branches, the lower part of the shrub mm-hmm. itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm seeing a lot of the activity.
Now, I hear you say magnolia bushes. Now, when we have that big, beautiful magnolia tree in the front of the house, this doesn't apply to that, does it?
It could have scale.
Yeah,
there's, you know, it's going to be kind of tough to get up into some of those trees.
Sure.
You know, usually it's like some of your shrub form that you mostly notice it on because it's more or less it's eye level.
Right.
Like Jane or Ann Magnolia.
Okay.
Leonard Messel. I mean, they all can get it. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you early in the season, you can use the systemic drench for trees and shrubs from Fertiloom.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way to help with controlling scale. And right now, it's going to be more topical. You're going to go after it with a spray. I like malathion. You can certainly use that. And just be a little liberal with it. And when you're spraying, spray early in the morning. You know, when the sun's not really beaming down during the hot part of the day on the foliage. A lot of times when you spray foliage, too, you have to be really careful, especially this time of year, because you can experience some phytotoxicity. You know, when you're spraying products or chemicals on foliage of plants, the sun and the heat can have an adverse effect, and all of a sudden you might go out the next day or two, and things are kind of burnt up or scorched.
Boy, that was a 50-cent word right there.
More than 50 cents right there. More than 50 cents. So always spray, whenever you spray for anything, an inconspicuous area of the tree, the shrub, or whatever it is you're spraying, before you go hog wild, just to see if anything negative happens.
Okay, Seven.
I
want to hear that word one more time.
What was it?
Phytotoxicity.
Oh, phytotoxicity?
You get bonus points for that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Use it in a sentence. What is its origin?
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. When we come back.
And while we're talking about weather and as warm as it has been, we're going to talk a little bit more and put some emphasis on watering. You know, watering the lawn, watering our hanging baskets, our trees and shrubs, everything around and in the landscape. How's that?
We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And Tony, I got to tell you, I got the great little, it was a combination because my birthday is coming up shortly and Father's Day is tomorrow. The wife and my mother-in-law went together and got me a nice, great, big, new Lazy Boy chair. And
good for you, really?
It is fabulous.
Is that the one you put like 50 cents in it and it vibrates for about 30 minutes?
No, but I think what prompted it, the early delivery, was the back injury I suffered a couple of weeks ago. And I thought, had to lay on the floor with a heating pad for a couple of days. And Lisa walked past and goes, well, I guess you really miss that recliner now, don't you? And then it showed up at the door. So I've already gotten my gift and enjoyed it quite a bit.
Is it leather?
No. It always makes me sweat.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I like leather. You know, you sit on it, it's cool. Just in the summer months, mm-hmm. I like leather. I don't know.
But it matches the couch
I'm sure it does. Yeah. Usually you do when you buy furniture. You try to match it up with what's already there. That's good.
That's why I didn't have anything to do with the selection of it.
You know, it's all about the back. I'm glad you weren't there. As a matter of fact, you probably wouldn't have been able to match it up since you're colorblind.
No, that's where
and
it
you
was
were
going
pointing
with.
Somebody out to me the other day, giving me the incorrect information about what they were wearing. With the wrong color, and I didn't know who you were talking about.
It was
that is true. You're telling me about somebody, and you're explaining to me, over there, wearing this color and that color.
Yeah, I think I thought it was black and pink or blue.
It was black and white and turquoise.
It was nowhere close.
No, you weren't even anywhere close, and I didn't know who you were talking about. That's what was funny.
Yeah, going to be a great day to get to your locally owned, independently operated garden center. And speaking of Father's Day, make sure you get to the B105 website, click on the In and Around the House page, and register for the Father's Day gift card giveaway. $100 from Bushman Supply and $100 from Jackson Florist.
Good deal. And we're going to talk more about Father's Day in the upcoming hour around 7 o'clock. And we're going to give you some ideas, some things you can pick up for Dad if he's an avid gardener. And I know you always say this too. We would talk about Mother's Day, and you would always comment, don't just drop off something, plant it.
Right.
Maybe you might want to give Dad a hand and cut the yard.
Yeah.
That's not a bad gig either.
Uh-uh.
But speaking of the yard, we were talking about before we went into the break, watering. And I'm going to tell you this. It's we've had some rain here and there and throughout. And the other day we had a little bit of a shower, which was so welcomed, believe it or not. It does not take us long to start drying out.
Mm-mm. No.
Take care of your lawn, people. That's all I want to say. It makes it easier on you, especially as we go into the fall season. You don't have to spend any money. You don't have to spend a lot of your time and effort trying to get things back into shape. I think it's easier just to, as you always say, to pay the utility companies, water. It's easier to water and take care of a lawn than it is trying to do it all in the fall season at one given time, because you have a small window of opportunity in the fall to get, to sow grass seed. Take care of the lawn, at least an inch of water per week if we're not getting any precipitation. That's so, so important. And it also applies for your trees and shrubs as well. And if you've planted new trees this year, make sure you help them out along the way, because as we start getting deeper into the summer months, we all know too well what happens here in the Cincinnati area. It gets really hot. It gets really dry for lengthy periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that opportunity to take the hose out to the tree that you just recently planted, I encourage you to invest in one of those water bags to put around your tree.
Oh, yeah. Good idea.
That works extremely well. So keep your trees adequately moist. I don't want you to drown them, but protect those trees. Look after those trees after you plant those trees. That's so important. It really is. Even your shrubs, you don't need to drown anything. Just a good deep drink and back off.
That's perfect advice about the little bag thing, because often you can't remember when the last time you watered, or if you and your wife are both tackling it, and I thought you watered. No, I thought
you
those
bags work relatively well. They really do. And all you need to do is fill them up and walk away, and it's just like a slow seep into the ground around that tree, that newly planted tree. And also, keep in mind, when you plant a new tree or a new shrub, stay away from the green box. Don't goose them with a lot of high nitrogen fertilizer. It's the worst thing that you can do. I sincerely mean that. Mm-hmm. I'd rather you not do anything versus do that. However, two things I need you to do and consider when you're planting, we're still in the planting season, is use a root stimulator. Fertilum does a great job with a root stimulator, or use Biotone from Espoma. It will really get your plants off to a great start. You can also use the rooting and blooming and starting fertilizer from Fertilum. Great products. So use those products exclusively when you're planting something new for the very first time.
749-B105, In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Got a lot of ground to continue to cover, and we'll do that when we return.
We're still going to stay on the course with watering, and I'm going to talk a little bit about our hanging baskets and some of our containers out on the patio and so forth. And sometimes we can overwater. We'll talk about it.
We'll be right back. Welcome back In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. It's going to be a great day to get to your locally owned, independently operated garden center. Pick up some gifts, some ideas and some supplies for dear old dad. Father's Day is tomorrow, and he would appreciate some really cool things. And as we mentioned earlier, Tony was talking about that, is if you do some things, if you take some things to dad, you know, like cut the grass or dig the holes or help him out, don't just give it to him and go, boy, these would look great back over there, dad, and then walk away. But we were also talking a little bit about watering, and especially hanging baskets. They have a tendency to need more attention than you would realize.
That they do. And I just want to put a lot of emphasis on this because we're at that point of the year. It's dry, you know, it gets hot, it gets a little windy, and we're at work. We might forget to water things before we go to work, which you should get into the habit of trying to get up maybe a half hour earlier and get those things done.
Yeah.
Because when you come home, and we've been in the 90s, and you walk out on the deck or the patio, and you see stuff all laying down on its side, like, get up, little fella.
Yeah.
Get up. I'm telling you, stuff will wilt down and just, oh, you're like in panic mode. Mm-hmm. And we've all done that. I've been guilty of that.
Sure.
I sure have. So I'm just trying to encourage you to stay on top of your game, keep your plants looking really nice, and don't have the tendency to baby some of your plants or your hanging baskets, because a lot of times too much water is worse than not enough, more often than not. And a plant will wilt when it's overly wet.
Yeah.
Or your annuals will wilt, or your perennials, even your shrubs or your trees, they will wilt and give you that effect like they've been dry or they are dry. And what ultimately ends up happening, people will feel sorry for that plant and think that it's still thirsty,
mm-hmm.
and they keep giving it more water. So we're compounding the issue.
Now, on occasions, I've heard you make suggestions about how to water. Are hanging baskets any different than some of the other plants? Do you want to get the water underneath the foliage, or do you want to rainwater?
Well, rainwater is always great, you know.
No, I mean, sometimes, you know.
Oh, you mean like with like the little shower?
Yeah.
No, I don't like to do that.
Okay.
Not at all. Especially at night when it's humid.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's one of the worst things that you can do. And even during the daytime, you know, I see people that water that way. And it works. But sometimes what happens is as the sun evaporates the water off of your blooms,
mm-hmm.
you lose that longevity element of the bloom. So therefore, I always like to just take my hand and gently raise up the foliage on the side of the pot
mm-hmm.
and just slip that hose or the watering wand right underneath, right at the edge mm-hmm. of the pot. I like to fill it up. Let it drain, fill it up one more time, and walk away.
Nice.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then the next time, I'll use my index finger. If I know that I've watered it or if it looks funny, I'm going to check it. If it's moist, I'm going to leave it alone. That's so important.
Right.
And I'm glad you brought that up, too. You know, watering is the key to the success that we have with our plants.
Mm-hmm.
More so than anything else that we can do. Now, most of us have already... We've already been to the garden centers and the nurseries. We have our planters and pots and everything already planted up. And this is so important, too. And I know if you're already at that point, it's all about soil. It's all about the drainage as well. But if your plants are in place, you just play with it for the rest of the season. If you've yet to do any planting, which there's still a lot of people that have yet to plant,
mm-hmm.
some people are always a little behind, put it off. But they get the best deals, too, sometimes during this course of this time of the year. But make sure that you provide for good drainage. And something else that I always caution people about, you can buy the products that are the little gels, the soil moist products that are the polymers that will swell and take on water and release water when necessary. I don't like to use those, but a lot of people have had great success with that. And I'm not trying to change you up or switch
mm-hmm.
you out.
Right.
Stay the course, but always use that according to the directions, because more is not better. And if you put too much of that into a container when you're planting,
mm-hmm.
Those products will swell up in such a way that they'll push your plants out.
Sure.
And you don't want that. It's like a little volcano. Everything starts moving upward and out over the pot. So use that according to the size of the pot if that works for you. But I always just like to control my own watering. I check the watering every day, and that's what's really important.
And I guess it depends an awful lot, too, whether or not they're full sun plants, shade plants. That water's going to evaporate in full sun more quickly.
That's true. Especially with hanging baskets, too. You know, you have the wind, that all that element comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
And let's take it to the Boston Ferns for a second. A lot of people love Boston Ferns, and they're right there on the porch hanging.
Oh, they're beautiful.
You know, water those every day. It's always easy to tell when you lift up the foliage underneath a Boston Fern, and if we're kind of brown and crispy and a lot of brown falls off,
mm-hmm.
you're not watering enough. So keep an eye on that. And there's another type of fern out there that we saw quite a bit of, and so did a lot of the other garden centers and nurseries, is the Kimberly Queen fern, which can take a little bit more sun.
Right.
Just you two will keep it watered, you know, every day. But that's one of the ferns out there. It's more of an upright grower, but as it gets larger and develops, it takes a nice, graceful weeping habit to it. A wonderful plant to have. It can tolerate some sun, but you have to keep it watered as well.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. I want to remind you again to jump on to B105.com, click on the In and Around the House page, and get registered for the gift card giveaway for Dad. We have a $100 gift card to Jackson Florist and a $100 gift card to Bushelman Supply. And Margie from Bushelman Supply is going to be joining us at the 8 o'clock hour. We need to pause for a moment when we come back.
We're going to switch gears and talk about perennials because right now, they are in their prime. When you visit your local garden centers and nurseries, you're going to see them at their best because things are blooming. The echinaceas are looking great. The Shasta daisies. Did you see those when we came in?
I did.
It's National Perennial Month, the month of June, and we're going to talk about perennials when we come back.
Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And got a lot of ground to cover. Got a lot of things to talk about before our friend Margie gets here from Bushelman Supply, but we're talking a lot about watering and keeping your plants healthy and enjoying them more. Plus, we also want to remind you, now is a great time to get to your locally owned, independently operated garden center and pick up some stuff. But still plenty of great plants available.
Oh, there's a lot of great stuff available. And right now, especially perennials, perennials are in their heyday. I mean, they're just blooming and blooming and blooming, performing their, you know, just wonderfully right now this time of year. And when you get out to your local garden centers and nurseries, you're going to see them. They're just stunning. And this is the time of year when you get to see stuff in full bloom. And I just want to throw a couple things your way. Just I want you to look for some of these various types of perennials. If you have a lot of sun, you know, the Gallardia is really looking good. It's in full bloom. I love that plant. Just gives you a burst of color, and it continues and it continues. Also, some of the Coreopsis, they're looking stellar. And there's some old favorites of mine. There's so many different Coreopsis today. It's just all over the board. But I still like Zagreb. I still like Old Moonbeam. That's been around for a long time, true, tried, and tested. Also, Route 66, if you're looking for something a little different. It's got that, like, reddish center with the yellow outer petals on the bloom. Also, Russian sage is looking great. A wonderful color. That plant will just take the heat, whatever you want to throw its way. Interesting texture to it. It's got that nice silverish, kind of grayish looking foliage with that blue bloom. It's a wonderful perennial. They're looking great. Monarda. Oh, gosh. You know, Bee Balm. That looks really good, too, in the garden. And right now, they're blooming their heads off, believe it or not. And if you want to attract bees, that's one of the routes that I would take. And there's a whole series of Monardas that I like a lot. And it's like Pardon My Lavender, Pardon My Purple, Pardon My Pink. Those are great series. And it just, you can't go wrong with that. Some of the grasses are looking really good, too, if you're looking for some ornamental grasses. And one that I like a lot, too, that it's been around for a while. It's it gets about maybe 10 inches in height, give or take, is Blue Festuca, Elijah Blue. You want a little grass or a grouping of this type of grass in the landscape. It's rather small. It makes for a great border. It's nice when it's done up in a grouping, and it's called Festuca. You know, that looks really good right now. It's got that nice color to it. Also, a lot of the Rudbeckias are really looking good, too. One of my favorites, as a matter of fact, and it's not the most attractive, but it has the most interesting kind of bloom, and it's called Maxima. a real big, leafy, fleshy-looking leaf, but it sends up these real tall flower spikes, and it's a great Rudbeckia to have, and it attracts goldfinches. I love that one. It's down in my yard, and those are starting to look good. Also, the echinaceas, Ernie. Everyone loves cone flowers.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go wrong with those. They're looking really good. I love the sombrero series. Very, very reliable, you know. So that's important when you're looking at echinaceas. What's going to really come back for you? What's going to really give you top performance? And that sombrero series, you're going to get top performance. There's no doubt about it. So these are just a few that just, I mean, of many that are they're in full bloom in a garden center. Also, the hardy geraniums, Roseanne, Biocova, those are wonderful, too, to have in a perennial garden. It just so many to choose from. And now, I can't emphasize this enough, get out to your local garden centers and nurseries because it's National Perennial Month. June is when we're seeing perennials at their best. You know, they're in full bloom. You can get a great perspective of what you're going to see when they are in full bloom. And believe this or not, once you have a perennial for a couple of seasons in the ground, it goes through the winter, the vernalization, and all that good stuff, it's a totally different plant. It's going to be a bigger plant. It's going to be more robust. It's going to give you a lot more blooms. You know, I just think there's so many different salvias out there.
Huh.
So many perennials to choose from, and a lot of people gravitate towards perennials because they come back every year, so they're not having to put out as much from a monetary standpoint and buying annuals every year, which I still want to encourage you to do because annuals, they give you a burst of color all season, whereas your perennials, you know, they give you periodic bloom times. And a lot of times, don't be afraid to cut back some of your perennials. When you do that, you can encourage a second go around of blooms. That's important. And a great plant to give you that example that you can do this with is salvia. Like salvia May Night or Ostfriesland, Blue Hill. Once these salvias expire, they go through their bloom period, cut them back to the basal growth down to the, you know, where the foliage is coming up.
Right.
And you'll see a second subsequent round of blooms, not as profuse as the original bloom period, but still you'll get a second round of blooms later on in the garden.
Like a two for one. You got
it's like a two for one. You know, another plant, Ernie, that I can just go on as I think of this, you know, it's just things come to thought or come to mind is for the sun. We've been selling a lot of Delosperma, and it's like a succulent looking plant, but it just blooms its head off. It comes in an array of different colors, and that is one that just gives you top performance throughout the season. Really a cool plant.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Don't forget to jump on to B105.com. Go to the In and Around the House Facebook page or page on the website and register for the gift card giveaway. Margie from Bushelman Supply is going to be in at 8 o'clock. And we have a $100 gift card from her, $100 gift card from Jackson Flores, all for Dad. But you got to get registered through the B105.com. Page.
And when we come back out of the break, I'm going to tell you about a perennial that will give you a lot of color, very, very fragrant, and it's our plant of the week.
We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys, and we have a plant of the week for you.
We do, but we have a caller, too, first, right?
Don't oh, you want to talk to her
yeah,
first?
Yeah, let's do that.
Oh, okay.
Thank you about the plan of the week. Let's take that call.
Let's go to Ann in Hamilton, and she needs some help identifying a purple vine. What kind of plant is it, Ann? Can you describe it a little bit for us?
Yes. My mom used to have it up around her mailbox, and it was about an inch round, but it kind of looked like a star shape, and it had yellow stamens in the middle, and it came back every year.
Like by maybe 5 or 6 petals. What color was it? What color was the bloom? You said it was purple?
Like a purple, yes.
Was it a clematis?
That's what I was thinking.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay. And I can get that there at your place?
Yeah, you can get it at any garden center. Most garden centers carry clematis. And keep in mind, clematis, they like their shoulders in the sun and their feet in the shade. So always plant something, especially at the base of it, in front of it a little bit, to protect that root. Also, when you plant your clematis, plant it a couple inches deep in case you ever get clematis wilt. Actually, they perform and rebound better if that ever afflicts your clematis, and it helps it get reestablished. So a wonderful plant in the landscape. It would be great around your mailbox or anything they can climb up on.
Yeah, and I was thinking about putting it by the front porch because I have some daylilies that are in the front. And if I plant it behind that, it has a post that it can grow up.
That would
around.
Be perfect. And then that lower part of the root structure will be shaded by the daylilies.
That would be a good choice.
Where are you calling from?
Hamilton.
You're right up there near Lakeview.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, go up and see Jim Montag. I'm sure he's got, you don't have to make that drive all the way across the muddy Ohio, but you certainly can. But stop up and see Jim at Lakeview, and that will save you a little time and a little gas. But Jim carries a lot of beautiful stuff up there, and if you don't find it, then come on over.
All right, I will do that. Thank you so much for your help. You guys have a great day.
Bye, Ann.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And now for the plant of the week.
Yes, and this is one that's very, very fragrant. It's right now showing beautiful, beautiful color. And I'm going to give you a little hint. It also has narrow, silver, kind of grayish foliage. Does that help you any? It kind of helps you sleep at night. It could be beneficial. It relaxes you.
Ice cream.
Yeah, that's a good plant. From Graders. Yeah, Graders, right. Yeah. Maybe Graders can make this flavor. Who knows?
I guess, describe that again.
Lavender. Oh, it's beautiful right now.
That's it. I was waiting for you to describe it again. I was going to guess lavender.
Well, it just has those purple, bluish kind of flowering spikes, and right now they're just putting on one heck of a show.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
Yep.
Exposure for lavender, it's a must that it's in full sun, and it is hardy to our area, but we'll talk about that in just a second. We'll talk about some things that's very, very important from a cultural standpoint, taking care of lavender. But it's known for its fragrance, and they say that if you cut these little pieces off and you put them next to your pillow, you'll sleep better at night. So that might be a good thing for you, since you have sleep apnea.
Yeah,
that might be beneficial for you, Ernie.
I could put it right next to my sleep apnea machine.
There you go. And do you use that, by the way?
All the time.
I heard more than 50% of people don't even use it.
I do not go anywhere without it.
Why are you always falling asleep here? You're not charged? I thought you were supposed to be charged. Anyway, the lavender, it's looking great. Full sun. Right now, it's in its heyday. It blooms all June through July, and they're stunning. And you're going to get a really great representation of what it looks like, what the blooms look like. And the blooms are different on various varieties. They really are. But when we talk about lavender, something that I want to talk about is pruning. And lavender can be deadheaded after the initial bloom period. You know, we were talking about that just a moment ago when we were talking about some of the perennial salvias. You know, if you can deadhead those after the initial bloom period and promote a secondary bloom period again later in the summer. However, like I always say, it's not as profuse as the original bloom period, but it can certainly be done. So that's a huge benefit right there. Also, when it comes to pruning lavender, avoid heavy pruning, you know, especially late August. Do not prune prior to going into winter. That is a no-no with lavender. You're going to set yourself up for some issues. And when you come out of winter, a lot of times people ask me, you know, how do I take care of my lavender? What am I looking for? Well, when you come out of winter, obviously, lavender can come out of winter a little beaten up, okay? So therefore, we want to prune out some of those damaged tips. And we want to remove those every year as we come out of the winter months. And pruning should not be done until the new growth has started to emerge from the old stems. You'll see new growth coming from the old stems. That is the point in which you can start to shape your lavender.
Okay.
That's so, so important. Because lavender will start to flush out from the old stems. You know, a lot of times, you know, it almost behaves like a shrub versus an herbaceous perennial. You know, your herbaceous perennials typically, you know, they die back completely to the ground. With the lavender, it's just a little different, you know. And unfortunately, many beginners that start, you know, buying lavender and planting lavender lose it because they prune it back completely to the ground in the late fall months or early spring, just like they would an herbaceous perennial, other perennials. From that point, like I said, they'll struggle to make it or they just flat out don't make it. So you don't want to take them all the way down to the ground.
No.
And, you know, there's times when lavender has a tendency to be a little on the straggly side. Again, you want to shear the plant back at least every 2 to 3 years in the spring, late winter, early spring, as it's starting to grow to about 6 to 8 inches above the ground. Don't cut too low into it. I want to put some emphasis on that. Don't cut too low into the lavender. On the flip side, lavender, if it's left untouched, you know, when I say that, you're not doing anything to it whatsoever for a couple of years, 2 or 3 or 4 seasons, typically it gets to looking really, really bad, and it's a little difficult to bring it back to its luster, what it once looked like. So restoring it after 2 or 3 years of neglect is not the easiest of tasks. So just keep that in mind as well. Requirements for lavender, Ernie. The most important thing that you can think about and do when you plant lavender is make sure that you provide well-drained soil. Wherever it is that you place and plant your lavender, it has to drain thoroughly, especially if you want to ensure survival over the winter months.
Mm-hmm.
Back in, when was it, 2012? The spring of 2013, we probably had record lavender sales. And that was because it was so cold. Severe winters, we can lose lavender. And a lot of people did just that. They lost a lot of lavender. But, you know, knowing those things going into the season is beneficial. As long as you know as a gardener that what can happen to lavender, if you lose it, you lose it. You just buy another one and replant.
Okay.
The sign of a good gardener is somebody who has lost a plant.
Oh, yeah.
Not everything lives forever and all the time.
Sure.
So we all experience those ups and downs.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We're talking a little bit about lavender.
And it's beautiful in the landscape right now, and it's beautiful in the nurseries and garden centers. I want you to check it out and see what's out there. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you about some different varieties when it comes to lavender that are well worth considering and to put into your landscape.
We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Please remember to jump on to B105.com, go to the In and Around the House page, and get registered for the gift card giveaway. Our friend Margie from Bushelman Supply will be joining us at 8 o'clock. But right now we're talking about our plant of the week in lavender.
Lavender. And also I want to touch on something real quick, too. One of our Facebook fans, Connie Compton, they're forming a garden club over in the Amelia area.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be a couple of meetings coming up here in the upcoming week, the 21st. And that starts at 7 p.m. And on June 24th, that one is at 9 a.m. And both of those meetings will be at the Amelia Administrative Building. And what they're trying to do is get a group of people who are interested in forming this Amelia Gardening Club. So June 21st at 7 p.m., the 24th at 9 a.m. You only need to attend one of those two get-togethers, meetings. And, again, it's at the Amelia Administrative Building. And I think it's right there on Main Street, West Main Street. So check that out. If you guys are interested in forming that club or being a part of it, it's always a fun thing to do. And it also builds community camaraderie. I love it when there's gardening clubs that get together and they do these things. And it brings so much to the community.
Indeed.
Very good thing indeed. Also, we were talking about various varieties of lavender that are well worth considering, and look for these at your local garden centers and nurseries. A couple here that you'll see most often is heat coat. Some people call it hide coat. It's a very fragrant, deep violet, purple flowered type of lavender, somewhat compact, beautiful gray foliage, silverish kind of color to it. Gets around 20 inches in height and almost about the same in a spread. So Heat Coat is one that I would certainly look for. Another one that is very popular, and you'll find it often as well, is called Munstead. And it has rich lavender flower spikes that just give you that cool look all summer long. Fragrant. Most importantly, too, this is one of the hardiest varieties. So we were talking about lavender sometimes trying to make it through some of the most severe of winters. This is one that will probably pull it out. But keep in mind, you know, if the winter's severe enough, it might be the demise of your lavender. But don't let that take the wind out of your sails. You just go get another one.
That's right.
It's that simple. Another one that I like a lot, and it's called Provence. I like this one because I like how the lavender flowers, those beautiful blue purplish flowers, they rise high above the foliage. I like the look of the bloom itself. And it gets about 24 to 36 inches in height. That's a good one. One that has just taken the lavender world by storm in recent years. Very, very hardy, a great top performer. And I know that we've gotten low on it several times in the garden center, but this one's called Phenomenal. And it's one of the newest, like I said, on the scene, extremely, extremely hardy. And it tolerates a lot of the warmer and cold extremes. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it even tougher and why it's really sought after. It, too, is extremely, extremely fragrant. Gets a little larger than some of the others. It's almost like a small shrub. It can grow up to 32 inches in height. And this is one I would certainly look for if you're wanting to do lavender in a landscape. Another one that I find very interesting, we've handled it off and on several times throughout the course of this season and last, and you don't see it too often. It's one called Platinum Blonde. You like blondes, don't you?
Platinum?
Platinum?
Blondes.
Blondes. I like that. Everyone always asks me, how do they get these names? However, it has a little softer of a blue-colored type of bloom to it, and it has a really interesting pale green, cream-colored foliage. And you can't go wrong with this. It, too, is very fragrant, and it's also, it makes for a nice cut flower as well. So look for Platinum Blonde if you can find it. And there's another one called Blue Cushion. There's so many different types of varieties. Blue Cushion. Maybe you want Blue Cushion on your new Lazy Boy.
That might be it.
Yeah. That might help you in the back. Yeah. A little shorter in height, more compact. It, too, is fragrant. It's around it's around 12, 15 inches. So look for these guys. Heat Coat, Munstead, Provence, Phenomenal. These are lavenders that are well worth having in the landscape. And you'll find the best supply of the lavender at your local garden centers and nurseries.
So get to your locally owned, independently operated garden center because 67 cents of every dollar you spend locally stays in the local economy.
That is so important. And when you buy from a big box, and I'm not beating up on the big boxes, you're lucky you're lucky if 40 cents stays local. So that additional 25%, that stays in the local economy, and that's so important. Support local businesses. It's all about local.
And, of course, support Dad. Tomorrow is Father's Day. Jump on the B105.com page and look for In and Around the House. Click on that, then register to become eligible for the gift card giveaway. We have a $100 gift card from Buschelman Supply and a $100 gift card from Jackson Florist. We're going to give away on Monday. And speaking of Buschelman Supply, Margie's going to be joining us at 8 o'clock, and we'll talk a little bit about some hardscapes and some great things going on out there.
Can't wait. Haven't seen Margie in a while, mm-hmm. and I need to thank her. Craig came over and fixed one of our broken springs on our garage door just a couple of weeks ago. It's always something, sure. You know. But when we come back out of the break, we're talking about Father's Day. Tomorrow's the big day. If Dad's an avid gardener, we're going to give you some ideas, things that you can pick up at the local garden center that he just might like.
We'll be right back. Welcome back In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Been covering a lot of ground today. Coming up in just about a little more than half an hour, we have our friend Margie from Buschelman Supply is going to be joining us. And we'll talk a little bit about Hardscaping and some great things. And you mentioned they were at your shop repairing a garage.
At my house.
Yeah,
they were at my house.
Yeah.
The other day, I had left and gone to work and get a call from Tina. She had taken off and she's like, you know, I heard a big pop. I'm like, yeah? And she goes, yeah, it was in the garage. And I said, oh, don't tell me a spring broke, didn't it? Yes.
Mm.
And then she's like, can you lift that so I can get my car out? And I don't know if you know this or not. Margie will attest to this. Those doors are heavy. When you lose a spring, that just puts that whole balancing act on it for you. So it's easy to lift up and down. But I was like, Tina, I don't think I'm going to do that. That's pretty... Yeah, it's one of those things, if it gets away from you, it's just going to slam down, and we have glass windows in our door, and I don't want to break those, so call Bushelman.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we did, and just Craig came out the following day and took care of it, and all is well. That's the third, since I've been in our house, that's the third time we've put springs in.
You guys are pretty rough on the doors.
Well... She said that's the most often largest moving object or item in the home. So a lot of truth to that. Father's Day gifts, by the way, Ernie. If you were thinking of Father's Day gifts for your dad, and if your dad's an avid gardener, what would come to mind?
Yellowstone 90 proof.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, you got to have that. We have that on the shelf. That's a motivator. It's not an insecticide. It's not a fungicide. That's a motivator. And it might slow you down in the long run, too.
Dad was an avid gardener. He had a little place across the street from our house, or across the road. It wasn't really a street.
Yeah.
Right along Banklet Creek, that he took care of corn, green beans, tomatoes, carrots, cabbage, everything. So any sort of tool that would have made his life a little easier would be great.
Well, here's one that I would seriously consider getting for Dad. And if Dad doesn't have these are a must. They're just simple hand pruners, bypass hand pruners. You know, there's always a need to prune something that's maybe dead, diseased, or, you know, you might be having some issues, or just, you know, thin something out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Hand pruners are a great gift. They really are. Buy a pair of bypass. You don't want the ones that are like an anvil where they just come down on a flat area.
Right.
You want the bypass. The cutting tool, the two sharp pieces, they just go right by one another and make for a really nice pruning cut. Felco are really good hand pruners. And typically, they come in a number of styles. Number two would probably be the most suitable for Dad. That's the one that's the most popular. Probably would cost you $50 to $75. Nice gift. They're well worth having. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of the Felco pruners is you can buy the replacement parts. That's nice. When you buy a good tool and you're able to replace some of the parts, well worth having. And I say this all the time. You know, if you're going to pick up a nice pruner for your dad, hand pruners, maybe pick up like a holster.
Mm-hmm.
That's also good and handy to have, because I know for sure I lay my glasses down all the time. I don't know where I lay them. You know, I'm always on the hunt looking for my glasses, my cheaters. But my pruners, I always put them in my holster.
Yeah.
I always know where they are, or I'd be more apt to let them lie around somewhere and probably spend about 5, 6, 10 minutes looking for them.
I spend more time looking for what I need to do something than getting it done. Hey, Tony, we have Wendy on the line from Amelia. We're going to continue with our conversation about some things for Dad.
But
she has a petunia plant question for you. Hi, Wendy. Thanks for calling.
Hey, morning, guys.
Morning.
Beautiful out
there. Oh, it is. It's dandy, as Ernie would say.
Yeah, dandy it is. I need the name of that petunia food you talk about. I've never written it down. I tripped over some of the most I don't put a lot of flowers down, but I love petunias.
I do, too. I've in recent years, the petunia craze has really grown tremendously, and there's so many different varieties out there.
I tripped over some midnight petunias.
Oh, okay, the one with the little white blotches, night sky?
No, my daughter got me one of those for Mother's Day. Haven't been able to find them again. the midnight, the black ones.
Oh, the black, okay.
And I've been jealous. My daughter-in-law tends to get them every year, and I can never find them. And I just happened to trip over every petunia color I needed. So
I like the black.
To say, empty pocket, lot of plants.
Yeah.
But the petunia food you use.
It's Jack's Classic for petunias.
Okay.
It's formulated. It has a very interesting analysis. The middle number of phosphorus is quite low, which you would think just the opposite.
Yeah.
But the beauty of it is it pulls in that element of iron with it, and that's what our petunias depend upon heavily, is that iron. And it's, you know, when you buy, this is so interesting, when you buy petunias and million bells, which is also, you know, the actual name.
Yeah, they're pretty too.
Yes. They are heavy feeders, and when growers are growing those particular items, they have injection systems, and they're always pumping the fertilizer to them. So therefore, they're very, very dependent upon that fertilization, and that's why you as a homeowner, when you're taking care of those, you need to continue that course, and Jack's Classic for petunias is the one I encourage people to buy the most. Just for that reason.
And, well, I know you talk about it all the time, and I was sitting here racking my brain trying to think of the name of it. So I figured, hey, it's Saturday.
Let's call them.
All right.
Well, thank you guys. I appreciate it very much.
You're welcome.
I love listening. I get up even when I don't have to.
Well, that's good.
Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You guys have a good weekend.
All right. You know, and I'm glad she brought up petunias because that is a wonderful fertilizer for petunias, the bar none, Jack's Classic for petunias. Look for it at your local garden centers and nurseries, and that's the only place that you're going to find it, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to have some beautiful, beautiful petunias. Also, while she was talking about petunias, I got my first phone call the other day. Somebody had asked me, what are the little worms on her petunias that are eating the buds, the blooms? And that is the tobacco bud worm. And you can go after the tobacco budworm with BT. So look for Dipel. That will work extremely well on your petunias, and that will keep that little pesky dude off and from eating those beautiful blooms.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have to pause for a moment, but when we come back,
we're going to continue the course for our Father's Day gift ideas.
We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we have, and I apologize, is it Edna or Edna on the phone? Hello?
Hi.
Hi. I'm sorry. I can't read what your name is on the paper.
I'm sorry. My name is Edith, and I live in Blanchester,
Edith.
Ohio.
Okay. Well, yes. Thank you for the call. And what kind of issues are you having with mimosas?
I have two mimosas in my yard. I have one in the front and one in the back.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And I've noticed just recently, within the past 2 weeks, the one in the back and the one in the front, the leaves are getting yellow.
Okay.
And I was wondering if there's anything I can do, if that's some type of a fungus or because of the weather, the rain, and what I can do to kind of help these poor trees. I just love the mimosas.
Sure. Let's, a couple questions. How old are the mimosas? How long have they been around?
The one in the back has been around for 5 years, and
uh-huh.
The one in the front has been around close to 3.5.
Okay. Are they showing any signs of, like, a wilt by chance? I mean, like, where the foliage, like it looks like it's dry or it's wilted in any way?
No.
Okay, that's good. So you're just seeing a little bit of yellowing, a little chlorotic element there. Are the yellow leaves, are they dropping or are they staying on?
They're staying on.
Okay. I know, you know, we've gone through some periods of an abundance of some moisture, and a couple periods here we've just gotten recently dry.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes, you know, water management with the mimosa is of the utmost importance. Those fluctuations, you know, can also cause a little bit of a mineral deficiency. You know, the minerals could be there, it gets dry, and it's not taking it up into the tree. It's really hard to say. It's more likely to be environmental, you know, with what we're experiencing weather-wise.
Right.
What I would encourage you to do is keep an eye on it. Because typically, mimosas can be affected rather quickly with there's a mimosa wilt or a fusarium type of wilt that can be kind of detrimental to the mimosa itself. But trying to keep things healthy and keep the tree happy, so good cultural care is of the utmost importance. And what I would probably do is I would look for some iron kind of product, like ironite. Are you familiar with that product? You can pick it up at your local garden center or nursery.
Okay.
That's always a really good product. It's one of my go-to kind of products. When I start seeing plants go into a chlorotic state, and when I say that, you'll see where the foliage on a plant is really light in color or appears to be yellow, and you can see within that leaf like a deep green, like the veining of the leaf. Yeah. That's an indicator that a plant is struggling from a nutritional standpoint. You know, there's a lack of nutrients getting up into the plant. And ironite always seems to be a good corrective approach.
Okay.
And you can find that at some of your local garden centers and nurseries, and I would try that and water it in. You know, or every time it rains, it comes in a granular form. So every time it rains or you water, it slowly breaks down, and it's very beneficial in greening plants up. It works wonders for people who have hollies that are struggling. And a lot of times, you know, just getting that element of iron into the soil is so important. So I would start there first.
Okay.
Secondly, I would keep a good close eye out on it and just make sure that it gets a good deep drink when we go through a dry spell.
Okay.
And if you're not sure, do you keep it mulched?
Yes.
You know, pull the mulch back, and if the soil's moist, leave it alone. You don't need to water it, okay?
Okay.
And if anything progresses, then maybe I would suggest you call an arborist just to take a look at it. Just get an overall picture of its health and see where it stands.
Okay. I'll do that then.
And follow up with this.
Okay, I will. I just love these mimosas. And it's the one in the front is a chocolate mimosa.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
ooh.
The chocolate mimosa.
Yeah.
That is one that was came on the scene several years ago. I love the foliage. Does it keep that nice dark color, that brown color?
Yes.
Yeah. Very, very attractive, to say the least. Well, definitely worth considering to keep an eye on it. Try the iron and see if that doesn't help somewhat, and follow up with us.
Okay, I'll do that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a good weekend.
Bye. Me too.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And been covering an awful lot of ground today, getting ready to welcome our friend Margie from Bushelman Supply at the top of the hour. And again, want to remind you to jump on to B105.com, click on the In and Around the House page, get registered for the Father's Day gift card giveaway, $100 gift card from Bushelman Supply and $100 gift card from Jackson Florist. When we come back,
Father's Day. It's still on my radar.
Okay.
And we'll talk about some gift-giving ideas.
We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And Father's Day is tomorrow. Think about dear old dad. If you're lucky enough to have him still around with you, spend some time with him and bring gifts.
Lots of gifts. Lots and lots of gifts.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about gifts. You know, I was telling you a moment ago about how important I think it is to have a really good pair of hand pruners, bypass pruners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, also another good tool, if Dad has the hand pruners, you know, think about some of those long-handled loppers. You know, that makes cutting some of those larger, thicker branches, you know, that are up to, you know, 2 to 3, mm-hmm. 4 inches in diameter a little easier. And you get above that, you know, it's maybe it might be a good pruning saw, good hand pruning saw. You can buy those where they fold up. I'll tell you where you can buy those, because I bought a real nice one. It's down at Bud Herbert Motors. I'm all about the steel equipment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, when it comes to pruning, those are three essential tools that are a must-have. Hand pruners for smaller, easier pruning jobs, little thicker branches and stuff that need to be pruned. The hand loppers with the longer handles,
mm-hmm.
it just makes it easier, gives you more leverage, makes cutting those 3-inch thick branches a lot easier. And a pruning saw, of course, if a little bit larger than that, the pruning saws are rather sharp. They cut coming back, you know, more so than going forward. Very valuable tools to have. And, you know, one of my favorite things, too, when it comes to gift giving are books. I really like books. And when I talk about books, you know, there's a couple of books that are out there that you might stop by some of the local bookstores and see if you can find them on the shelves. If your dad likes to garden with perennials, one of my favorites is the Well-Tended Perennial Garden.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about that many a times in the past. A lot of valuable information in that particular book, especially when it comes to plant division and cutting things back, deadheading, getting things to bloom again, plant combinations, a lot of plant cultural information on perennials. A wonderful book. And another one that I really like a lot that I picked up not long ago, the title of this particular book is called The Heirloom Tomato. Beautiful illustrations in this book. We all like illustrations, especially guys, right?
Yes.
We don't like to read. We just like to look at pictures. But it's a great book. It talks about tomatoes, the heirloom varieties from garden to table, a lot of recipes in this particular book. A lot of history of the world's most beautiful tomatoes. It's very, very interesting. The author is Amy Goldman, and if you can find this book, it's well worth having. And when you pick up a book for Dad, you know, just a little note here, sign the inside of that book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just write a little note, maybe something that was really memorable that he did that was funny in the garden or something that he's always enjoyed growing, and make a little notation of that. The beauty of that is, you know, that book will be around for many years. And one day, perhaps, you know, things don't go on forever. But you'll have that book in the family, and you'll read that little notation that you left Dad. And the same applies for Mom as well. And it'll bring back very fond memories. So sign a little notation inside those books. I can't say that enough. Every time I would get a book from somebody, a lot of times I'll say, you know, do you mind just writing something in this book?
Sure.
And I think that's a wonderful idea. Also, you know, maybe save Dad a little bit of money, a little bit of expense. Pick up a three-step program for him at one of his local, his favorite watering hole. Instead of saying watering hole, garden center,
mm-hmm.
or local nursery. So that's save on Dad's pocketbook, and just get him a certificate for the three-step program, all three steps. Or just pick up a gift certificate for Dad from his favorite garden center or nursery.
Great idea.
I think those are great mm-hmm. ideas. Or, last but not least, there are some really excellent publications out there, magazines, gardening magazines. Horticulture is a great one to pick up for Dad. Fine Gardening is another one. And also, there's two other magazines I think highly of, and they're more specific to the state. And one of those is the Ohio Gardener magazine. And secondly, last but not least, the other one is the Kentucky Gardening magazine. And what's nice about that is if Dad gets that and as a subscription, he'll receive a 10% off coupon discount card for those nurseries that are listed in the back of those magazines for 10% off on plant purchases.
Fantastic. You can't beat that. Idea.
Great yeah. idea. Great gifts.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Our friend Margie from Buscheman Supply is here. We need to take a few minutes to get her settled in, get ready, because she's going to join us at 8 o'clock. But when we come back, we will spend a little time continuing our conversation about Father's Day.
I want to summarize and pull to the forefront an issue that's been plaguing people with their magnolias, and that is magnolia scale. A couple of things that you can do, some things you need to look for so you can keep this pesky insect off and keep your magnolias looking healthy.
We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. You going to eat the rest of that, Tony?
Don't eyeball my sandwich.
I thought he was talking to me.
We've been talking a lot about Father's Day, gift ideas, and we want to remind you again, get on to B105.com, click on the In and Around the House page, and then register for the gift card giveaway, Father's Day gift card giveaway. We have a $100 gift card from Buscheman Supply and a $100 gift card from Jackson Florist. And our friend Margie from Buscheman Supply has arrived and brought us steak and egg breakfast sandwiches.
I just invited her in next week, too.
Well, thank you so much again for the treat, and welcome to the show again.
Hi,
good
guys.
To have you.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
This makes it easier for me when I go over to Finley. I'm not buying on an empty stomach.
Oh, I know. You buy a lot more if you're hungry.
I will buy too much.
You do. Yep.
So I'm going to try and sneak that in when we leave. So what's going on at Bushman Supply? And thank you, by the way, partnering up for the Father's Day gift drawing with the $100 card for Bushman Supply and also from Jackson Floor. So that was very nice of you to do. And I like that you, that was a great idea as well.
Okay, great.
So Dad can kick off a project from both places.
Well, and I was going to say, when you were talking about tools before, we do have some hand tools. Ours are professional grade, though, because a lot of the landscapers come in.
Mm-hmm.
But we have the real heavy spades, and we have mulch forks. So
that's a good idea, because how many times does the end fall off of some of those cheap ones?
You know
what I'm saying? It's like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
Well, the manufacturer we represent, they guarantee their stuff. So, and when you were talking about the Felco pruners, Felco is who we buy for cable cutters for the garage doors.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They make an outstanding tool. So you're right. They're a little expensive, but they are the best.
It's a valuable tool to have. And I guess with those cutters, are there replacement parts that you can get for those, or are they just
You know,
much?
I'd have to ask Lance, because our cables are aircraft cable. So it's so there's, I used to know all this. I think there's nine strands, and then they're twisted into seven strands or something, but there's a million little strands.
Right.
So the only
makes it stronger.
Well, and if you don't use that cable cutter, then they get, you know how they kind of get mashed and stuff at the end, and the little wires stick out, and then it won't work. And
what a nice cut.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And it cuts right through it. I mean, that stuff's tough, too.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
And thank you, by the way, for sending Craig over to. Oh.
He's a trip, isn't he?
He is. And so, again, we talked about the garage door.
Well, I told him, I said, tell Tony if he's ready to buy a new door, we can just clamp the spring on a temporary basis, and then he won't have to spend the money on a spring.
Well, that's what he told Tina. He's like, you know, I can rig this up, or you can run on one spring. You know? And so Tina's like, you know, what's the overall evaluation of the door? He goes, well, you got this is good. You might want to seriously look at this. You want to look at that. He loves his job.
Well, and he's really good. I mean, he won't sell you something if you don't need it. And honestly, the old doors are really, they're well made. The new wood doors, they aren't so good.
Yeah, mine, it's old. The only element missing with mine is that insulation factor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's nothing.
Other than that, I'm okay with it. And we've been talking about this for four or five years.
Yeah.
It's still going.
There you go.
That's a third set of springs. So that would be about every 7 years. Does that sound right?
We used to have one customer, and he used his garage door like a front door. His garage door must have gone up and down a million times a day. And he replaced his springs like every 2 or 3 years.
Whoa.
And, you know, we can up the cycle, because on commercial doors, we can go up to 100,000 cycle springs. But typically on a garage door, residential garage door, it's only about 12,000, maybe 15,000. So that's an option, too, for anybody that's going through springs. If you're eating through a lot of them, we can up the size and get more cycles.
I've eaten a few, but I don't think I've eaten that many. They don't taste as good as a sandwich.
Your door has an appetite.
So what's going on up at the yard at Bushman Supply? What are you guys selling a lot of? What are you, anything on special? What's moving? What's trending?
Well, we're doing a monthly special on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if it's just over or if it's still going on. I think it was, I want to say $50 off on one of those fancy stone benches or any bench. I mean, it doesn't have to be one of the fancy ones, but we're doing something every month on Facebook to try to get our Facebook.
Well, how's it coming? How's it work?
I have no idea, because I don't do that.
Well, you're soon to be. I'm just looking at it. Actually, this it looks awesome. I
tell everybody, I'm still of the pencil and pen generation.
That's okay.
I want to see my customers or talk to them on the phone. I want to deal with people. Dealing with that computer, that's no fun.
Yeah, but this is so important and valuable because I just saw something here on your Facebook page that I could see in my yard, in my landscape, and that's those nice steps, and it's got that bench.
Yeah.
Beautiful photograph. That's the kind of stuff that lures me.
Well, we just had a customer. I love when customers do this. A really nice guy came in, and, you know, I talked to him, spent some time with him while we took the product out, and he sent us finished photographs of his project. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful. It really looked nice. And that's the kind of stuff I get. I really like, I enjoy that. That part is what mm-hmm. makes it fun for me.
Oh, yeah. So when you can see the
really
finished project.
Really did a great job.
Yeah. That's awesome. And that's rewarding, too.
Yes, it is.
And when somebody is willing to do that and you kind of coach them along the way and they come back to you and say, hey, that worked out perfect.
Yeah. Well, see, and to me, that's all about building relationships.
That's what it's about.
Because he'll come back.
Yeah.
You know, if he needs something, he'll come back. So, or he'll tell other people to come back.
That's right. So what else is new? Anything new that's cool?
We've had glass on order for almost 2 months, but we've got a big shipment of fire glass coming in. And we don't sell so much of it for fireplaces, but mm-hmm. we sell a whole lot of it for like accent, like around a sundial or around a piece of statuary and actually we sell quite a bit of it for crafts, but I'm really excited. We've got some really pretty glass coming
now,
in.
Now, like when you buy that, how do you buy it? In a bag or it's a bag?
Yeah. Stuff like that. That's a specialty item.
Uh-huh.
We bring it in by the bag, but we'll open a bag and sell it by the pound. We do that with grass seed, too. So the only one we don't do that too much with are Mexican beach pebbles.
Oh, I know that.
We
yeah.
have enough of those all over creation without help in that situation. But yeah, most of the stuff, if it's packaged like that, and again, stuff like that that we sell more for craft stuff, they don't need a 25-pound bag of material.
What's unique about the glass? What makes it? Is it something people are seeking out or they're looking for?
Well,
does it give you a different look?
And I mean, like I said, we've sold a lot of it for different things. We've sold a lot of it to girls who are doing centerpieces for their wedding reception.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's all kinds of colors. And then some of them are like iridescent.
Right.
But the fire glass itself is made from tempered glass.
Mm-hmm.
So it can withstand higher temperatures.
So that's what you would see like in somebody's like table that has the flame.
Yeah.
Like a fire pit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that can withstand it. Yeah. Now, you know, when you're handling that stuff, has it been like...
It's like tumbled.
Tumbled.
Sort of.
So it's not...
Yeah. It's not sharp. No.
Okay.
No, it's not sharp. So...
Ernie, that might look good in your backyard in some shape, fashion, or
sure.
form.
I was just thinking some of those things she was describing, going, okay, wouldn't have to cut this area. I can get rid of the grass on that side of the hill and do something nice
there.
They
can tumble all those Bud Light bottles of yours and make them really look nice in the landscape. What do you think?
We had a lady come in one time and buy glass, and she had a pool deck poured. And what she had them do was kind of make like a little curved area that went back and forth to make it look like a creek.
Mm-hmm.
And she put that glass in there, and then they sealed that glass in with some type of epoxy or something and made it be the pool deck. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So there's all kinds of stuff you can do.
So like what colors are available? Is it range from A to Z?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we're bringing in several different shades of blue. We're bringing in some pink. We're bringing in some crystal and some ice, mm-hmm. which are both like a clear, like translucent kind of color. We're bringing in black. I think we're bringing in gray. I think we're bringing in some green, like some turquoise aqua kind of colors. But the blues sell the best because I think people gravitate towards that because it looks like water.
Yeah.
You know what would be cool is if you had a big glass display bowl or another type of glass cylinder, and if you could put like LED lights in it or something.
Oh, yeah.
That glass in there.
That would be a good idea.
Colors,
yeah,
that would be really cool.
The lights would shine through the glass.
Absolutely.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that would be cool because you can get those lights too that are battery operated, so you wouldn't have to deal with any wires.
That would be an interesting effect.
Yep, that would be good.
And speaking of Mexican beach pebbles, you know, I've been thinking about
those
lately.
Beautiful?
They are.
They really are.
And I'm I was talking to some friends the other day, and they were leaning towards using an aggregate to mulch with.
Uh-huh.
And immediately I thought about those, and I said, you know, I have a friend up at Bushman Supply. You need to look at these. I said, they're a little salty in price.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a beautiful look.
Well, and I think we've talked about this before, too.
Yeah.
One way to make your money stretch, because there's three issues with aggregates. There's color, there's size, and there's texture. So if you can match two out of the three, usually you can get by with it. So, and something I don't think you ever want to do is mix like a sharp gravel with a round gravel. I mean, that's not going to work. But like you could get like inch and a half gravel, which is mm-hmm. about the size of ping pong balls and golf balls. You could lay your base coat with that. Then you could buy just a few bags of beach pebbles the same size and sprinkle those on top and color it up. Because our native gravel does have some color, not mm-hmm. much, but
right.
some. And you can color it up that way. The only way that doesn't work is if you've got kids or dogs that are going to mix it up.
Right.
So, but you can do something like that, too. But the beach pebbles are pretty.
Well, I'm trying to get a hold of, at Land Tech. I want him to do my steps. So,
Steve.
Yeah, that's Steve.
Yeah,
coming.
Oh, we've got a ton of steps in stock right now. We really do. They're everywhere.
You know what? I may come up and see you next week.
Okay.
I want to kick that project off. I told Tina the other day. I always gravitate towards like moving into the city. She's like, "We're not moving. Go ahead and go without me." And I'm thinking, this might be my out.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But I said, Tina, if we're gonna park it here for a while, we're gonna do some different things. So
well, the other thing is, even if you sell it, it's still gonna add
right.
value to the house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've had real estate agents tell me that if like a prospective home seller invests a couple thousand dollars in mm-hmm. landscaping, that can net them $10,000 and $20,000 on the sale.
Certainly.
I mean, it's hard to believe, but when you look at some of the houses, especially like some of the older ones where they've got those Japanese yews and the stuff's all overgrown and you can't see the house, it looks like a jungle. And, you know, they go in and clean all that out and put in some newer, more trendy type
mm-hmm.
stuff. And it's
like a new suit.
I know.
New clothing. It dresses it up.
Yeah.
It's curb appeal.
It takes
absolutely.
20 years off the house.
749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Our friend Margie from Bushman Supply is in with us. And again, we want to remind you to go to B105.com. Click on the In Around the House page and get registered for the Father's Day gift card giveaway. We have a $100 gift card from Bushelman Supply and a $100 gift card from Jackson Florist. We're going to award on Monday. In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have our friend Margie from Bushelman Supply in with us, and we're talking about some gift ideas. And now, of course, is the time to do something for Dad and maybe stop by Bushelman Supplies to get some new hardscaping material.
Oh, big time. We were just talking in the break. We were talking about different types of stone, and you were talking about the flagstone, how mm-hmm. you have such a great supply of flagstone.
Right.
Nothing more appealing than just seeing stone, a nice stone patio or a walkway.
Oh, I think so, but, you know, you have to deal with who you're talking to, too, but... I much prefer stone over, like, paver. Even though we're a paved stone distributor,
right.
Stone's still the way to go.
I think when you're working in the landscape, you get that true natural hardscape
look. It does. It looks much more natural.
Yeah, it's not that, you know, not that the other's bad, you know, it's just not contrived in a lot
right.
of ways. You know,
right.
it's just got that natural element
right.
about it.
Right.
And then you even feel more so like you're outdoors. And
yes.
you're just in that natural environment or that setting, and it just really makes it happen. You know, with the flagstone... Are there various thicknesses of different types of flagstone, and what's the best way to put that down?
Well, we order most of our flag in at inch and a half, and
mm-hmm.
then that can vary probably 3/8, half inch either direction.
Right.
So, and then some stone quarries, like flagging, they usually peel up in layers. So depending on what kind of seams they're running with, but a lot of times, a lot of flagging is in a 2-inch seam. So an inch and a half to 2 inches is normally what we have. But we're selling to a lot of professional landscapers, and they're doing it over what we call a soft bed,
right.
which is not concrete. So, and basically the installation is the same as pavers. You have to go in with a gravel base and compacted, and then you can go in with either a sand base, or I personally like half-inch crusher run, but and then bed the sand in that, and then you can use different things for the joints. I still like half-inch crusher run for joint material. I mean, all the poly stuff and the gator dust and all that stuff mm-hmm. is nice, but you can still get weeds in that stuff.
Right.
And so if you don't spray them and pull them, then sometimes you're pulling joint material out. Well, with half-inch crusher run, it's a stone product. So you just get a 5-gallon bucket of stuff and you dress it back up again, you know.
So it's pretty easy to repair.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
Exactly. And I don't like sand because when sand's dry, it makes the great escape. I mean, it's loose. You know how dry sand is. It's everywhere.
And
half-inch crusher run has got half-inch limestone chips, and then what looks like sand or mud or whatever is actually pulverized limestone. So it packs together and it stays.
Now, what I did, I took a little different approach with stone when I did a walkway.
Uh-huh.
But I used some sand, but I also used quite a bit of soil, but made it more of a sandy base.
Yeah.
And then planted creeping thyme.
Yep.
All in between the stones.
Oh, yeah.
That takes on a really cool effect.
Oh, yeah, it does. And it makes it look like an English garden type of effect. And you're right. And then you don't really have any maintenance.
No.
I mean, you really
don't. Well, occasionally I'm pulling some weeds in between there.
Well, yeah, because they seed from the top. Right. So you can't, there's nothing you can do to control the birds. So, I mean, that is what it is.
No, nor the wind when it's blowing.
Well, that's true, too.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
The only thing I tell customers is if we're going to do something like that, they have to bear in mind when that grows, it's going to kind of grow up and overflow. So I think it looks better if you use bigger pieces mm-hmm. because then when you've got all that green around there, you still have a big piece of stone to stand on or rock on.
Right.
So you're not, you know, screwing up your joint material.
And I like the fact that you're talking about the thickness of the flagstone as well. It has to be an inch and a half to 2 inches. Yeah, some of it's really thin because then somebody walking all the time would crack it.
Like tips. Well, and it tips. It moves.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but we brought in a new product last fall. They're 24 by 24 porcelain tiles, and they're beautiful. We brought in two colors, a gray one that looks like hardwood. It's grained like wood. It's
really
gorgeous. And then we brought another one that's kind of a tannish base, and then it's got like red streaky stuff through it. And then that one looks like stone. And I mean, they're both porcelain, but one looks like wood and one looks like stone.
And you put it down the same way.
You can. And then I guess the big deal now is like rooftop stuff. So you can use those too. They have like little spacer things that you can use, and it sets them up so that if it's on a rooftop, water can still get through the joints and run underneath of it, run to a gutter thing. So,
yeah, you know, we were up in New York and I noticed that. We were on a rooftop garden, and it almost felt as if it floated.
Yeah, I think they put them on rubber, I think.
So they put it on a rubber membrane, and it can drain.
Yeah, exactly. So,
do you sell a lot of that?
What?
Like those type of products where people are trying to do rooftop gardens? You were talking about those spacers and so forth?
Yeah, we have all that.
Interesting. So, you ever seen those, Ernie? The rooftop type gardens?
Bigger, they're bigger in urban areas. I mean, we've supplied material for some of the stuff downtown. It's not really anything that I've seen anyway that they're using in suburbs, but. And then Permalock, the aluminum guys, the aluminum manufacturer we distribute for, they make special edging. I'm trying to think. It's an Italian restaurant out by our house.
La Rosa's.
No. But they have a big, if you look, when you pull into the building, they have like bushes and stuff growing on the roof. But it's a special edging. It's real high, but it holds all the dirt.
Oh,
and stuff.
It starts with a B.
Shoot.
Oh, you know, you're killing me. There's one there. I think there's one out at Crestview Hills. The Italian restaurant's right there by Dixie Highway. You know what I'm talking about, Ernie? I know. They have plants up on the roof.
So
that edging holds everything into place.
It must be 6 or 8 inches tall. And, you know, don't get me wrong. We don't stock that stuff because it's a specialty item.
Right.
But it's available and it's aluminum. It comes UPS. It's no big deal. Because it doesn't weigh anything.
When you come down through the cut in a hill on 75, you can see that rooftop garden.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, right there. It's a, Well, it's a sustainability type of garden. It's on top of St. E.
Yeah.
A lot of that sedum, and you can see how that's all set up. Yeah, there's a lot of that that's done. Actually, you know, they recapture, they reuse and repurpose the rainwater for various different things. So there's a lot of interest in that.
Yeah, there
is. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, there is.
I like that. And we were talking about boulders. Like, you know,
that's people, my favorite.
People go boulder crazy.
Oh, man.
And I like the people that come into our place. And we sell some stone, nothing like nearly what you guys carry. But everyone wants to put that boulder out at the end of the driveway to keep that person from turning around. And
from making the curve.
I have. Right. At the end of our driveway, I have a two and a quarter ton boulder with pandas blasted into it.
Mm. That's cool.
Then I have another boulder on the other side with our address blasted into it. And then I have another boulder under the mailbox, because if they hit the mailbox this time for about the 10th time, they're going to hit the boulder in addition. So we have three right at the end of our
driveway. So you wake up every morning like looking down like with your binoculars.
Did anybody hit that mailbox yet?
Did I get any today? 749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Margie from Bushelman Supplies with us. We need to pause. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Margie and a couple of other ideas of what we can do for Father's Day. But don't forget to get onto the B105 website and register for the Father's Day gift card giveaway. Welcome back. In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have our friend Margie from Bushelman Supply with us. And again, don't forget to jump on to B105.com. Go to the In and Around the House Facebook page, or page, I should say, on the website, and get registered for the gift card giveaway. $100 gift card from Bushelman Supply and $100 gift card from Jackson Forest. Just exactly what Dad would want.
Definitely. And you know what else you could do with that gift card? Start up a Bushelman Supply, and it's, you know, although it's warm outside, still it doesn't deter me from thinking about setting it up for the fall season with a fire pit.
Well, that was one of my thoughts with the gift certificate, is, you know, to put it towards a fire pit, because just with a ring, I mean, that would about cover what a ring costs, depending on what size you get.
Right.
But, you know, and you could at least start with a ring. But when you were asking about new stuff too, two women came in, and they've been in the store before, but they brought in some samples. They're artists, and they paint on the rocks. And she brought in a fawn, and I think a turtle was the other one. And she asked me, you know, if we'd bring them in. And see, now that's the kind of stuff I like to do. Because, you know, you said about support local people.
Exactly.
But they're beautiful. But it's that kind of gift you can give somebody that you don't know. They don't need any. You know what I mean?
Right.
And she seals them so they can set outside. And she's going to bring us, because she called first to see if, or came in first to see if we'd be interested. But she's going to bring us a whole bunch. And I think they're very reasonably priced considering they're hand painted. But
yeah, you know, those make for nice little gifts too. Just all the way, you know,
well,
in general.
The other thing that we do a lot with boulders, and I'm hoping now with this lady, we get a lot of people who lose a pet. And they want a marker.
No, you're absolutely right.
And to get it blasted, don't get me wrong. I mean, we do that, but it's expensive because the blasting is expensive. Well, she can paint it now, you know, and do that kind of stuff. So that kind of stuff appeals to me because then it's more customized and, you know, and people, and I'm terrible. I mean, I take two springers with me every day. And there, I think a lot more of those dogs than I do a lot of people.
The other day there was a customer in a store, and this is one of those situations where you know we're talking about our customer base, and when people come in, you know there's that personal element there.
Oh yeah.
And this one gentleman was in the other day, and I'm like, hey, where's your little fella?
Oh
my God! I had to go to the Puffs box. I mean, and then you'll hear those people, I don't want another dog. I'm like, carry it on.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. You were talking about stones and engraving. We have Lisa on the line who has a question for you.
Okay.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for hanging on. You wanted to know about some stone engraving?
Yeah,
Lisa?
I have a real nice piece, and I want to put it, like, down at my driveway, like you guys were talking about. But I want to engrave my address. I've seen some that have their address on it. And I've asked around, and people have said to, like, go to, like, the monument places where you would get, like, a headstone. But I'm wondering if there is other places around and exactly, you know, is it a high cost to do this or what it costs to get it done?
Can you transport your stone? Is it small enough that you can transport it, or would it have to be, somebody would have to come and pick it up with a piece of equipment?
We'll be able to pick it up.
Okay. So there's a couple options you have. And unfortunately, it is expensive to blast. I'm sure you've seen the little bricks that they do as memorial markers. Those usually run anywhere from about $20 to about $60, depending on the size of those. And then, but if you're talking a boulder, what drives the price on the blasting is the blasting surface, so how large the boulder is, how big that you want everything, and then the weight. All the, when they blast, they have to do it in a blasting booth because they use silica sand, and it's a three-step process. They have to do a drawing on a computer, like a CAD program. Then once that's approved, then they do, it's almost like a sponge rubber kind of thing, and it's the template. And they make the template based on that CAD drawing. Then they glue it onto the stone. Then they beat the template onto the stone. Then they blast it. Then they have to take that off. They have to remove all the glue. And then they paint in the blasting. So it's involved, which is why it's expensive. But typically to get something relatively small blasted, if you can move it, it's not that heavy. So I would say, and without sight unseen, I'd say the blasting is going to be anywhere from maybe $125 to maybe $195, somewhere around and through there. But you could check with a couple monument companies. I think some of them do, like other stuff, like outside stuff. I don't know if they all do or not. The other thing you can do, if it's flat enough, you can buy letters and numbers like at Lowe's or Home Depot that are metal, like black wrought iron or brass, and you could glue them on. Or the other option would be like something like I was talking about, where somebody could paint it and then they seal it with an exterior seal so it can sit outside.
Okay, Lisa, does that help
so
you?
The exterior seal would protect the paint.
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Okay. Now, the other question I have is, talking to people, they're telling me that if you do the engraving, it can weaken the stone. And, I mean, it's not like mine is thin by any means, but I'm sure it does weaken it. Do I then have a chance of it cracking where it has been engraved?
We still have blasted boulders that, oh, gosh, they have to be 20 or 25 years old, 30 years old, and that's never been an issue. We did have one experience one time where we used a customer used a piece of limestone and used it as a sign, so he set it up vertically, and there was a seam that was vertical, so it got rain in it, and then with a freeze-thaw cycle, part of the stone face, part of that seam came off, and the people that did because we have our blasting done, we don't have a sandblaster, but they just, you know, redid it. But and it didn't happen immediately. I mean, it happened over years, but that's the only instance, and we know what caused it because they left the seam was up vertical. They should have sealed the boulder, and it wasn't a boulder, it was a flatter piece, like a great big piece of outcropping, and they put the seam vertical instead of normally that would lay horizontally. So but boulders are different because usually they're not seamed, they're all one piece. But no, I would disagree with that. I don't think you weaken it at all when you blast. So
okay. Check around to monument places around me.
Yeah,
okay,
and take some pictures and share them with them on our Facebook. We'd love to follow along.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Lisa.
You know, I think that's a great idea, what Lisa just brought up, especially if you live in a type of house that sits way off the road.
Yeah, yeah.
And the reason why I say that is because if there's ever an emergency, first responders, it's when you're looking for that address, and I know this personally when I'm delivering flowers.
I know, you can't see them.
You can't, but
even
I think,
in the daylight. But think most of your emergency responders are at night. That's even worse.
And having a marker or something that's out at the end of the driveway that says, hey, this is the address, is so important. So, you know, and not everyone's situation is like that, but when you are in that situation, you definitely want your home identifiable.
Oh, yeah.
For just first responders in particular.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Hopefully you don't have to call them, but that's a great idea to do that marker.
Yep.
749 B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Our friend Margie's in with us. We need to pause for a moment. When we come back, going to continue our conversation about Father's Day. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we have Margie from Bush & Wind Supply in with us. We've been talking a lot about Father's Day, gift ideas, and some hardscapes, and some fantastic ideas about what you can do for Dad. And one of the things that Dad probably uses more often than anything else or anyone else is the garage door.
There you go.
The
man cave.
Yes.
That or the basement.
The man entrance.
How come you guys got relegated to the garage in the basement?
I don't know.
What's with that?
How did we earn that?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because I read something the other day. Now, this has changed around a little bit, not to get off topic, but they have what they call she sheds.
Huh? I never heard of that.
She sheds. So I guess like your shed out back, Ernie, the one you had painted Pepto-Bismol pink.
I don't think it's fake.
I'm kidding. I know it's not. It's brown.
Yeah.
It matches your last name.
There we go.
Yeah, but the garage door, you know, that's something that if Dad's having an issue with, you might want to think about, or you can help him along. Yeah. You know, that gift card we're talking about could go towards it.
Yeah, or, that would pay for a service call and a little bit of extra time.
There you go. Yep. That's for sure. I know that you guys helped me out a couple of weeks ago. It was like, I got on. Did I text you? Is that what it was?
I think.
Yeah,
I think you did.
I wasn't sure if you received texts.
I do, but you know, my problem, well, first of all, I can't hear. So if it does a little dingy thing, I don't hear that. But then if we're really busy, sometimes I don't sit at my desk all day. You know, and I usually try to keep my phone with me. But if I've got something on that doesn't have any pockets, that doesn't work either. But yeah, you did. And I do get texts, but I'm not so good about doing the text.
You called me back and left
the
message.
Wrong button. Yeah,
you called me, but you left a message. But after I thought, well, Margie's my first responder because I'm going to text you real quick.
Yeah.
And then I a little bit later on, you had left a message. So that was... And, inevitably, always something, you know, does eventually end up plaguing you with a garage door.
Well, yeah, because they're all, well, you know, it's the largest moving object. And then there's a whole bunch of parts that move, like all your little roller wheels and your cable. And that winds up on the drum and, you know, your spring. Every time you do a cycle, it's like tires. I mean, they're only geared for so many cycles. Mm-hmm. So, at some point, everything has a lifespan. So.
Right. And we're putting some emphasis on this because, you know, these things happen. They occur. They happened to me a couple of weeks ago. And if you're in need of a garage door, you guys always have that annual fall sale.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not too early to think about this.
It's not. You know, and again, if you have, like, and we've had this a number of times where people hit the door or they have a broken spring.
Mm.
And that's the tipping point for the new door. Why spend more money on something that's 15 or 20 years old? But a lot of times we can do a temporary repair. And if you order a new door, and again, it depends on how bad it is, but many times, like if it's a broken spring, if you order a new door, we'll clamp it. There's no charge for that.
So when you say
temporary
clamp
repair.
I've heard of the clamp. It's,
We take the two broken pieces and put them together, and then we use a cable clamp, and we tighten that down, and that holds those two broken pieces together, and then we rewind the spring.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's a temporary fix.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So how long would that last?
Oh, we have people who use them for years.
Yeah.
So if it breaks the second time, you're done.
Right. Oh, I got it.
And it works... I don't want to necessarily say better, but it's more effective residentially and commercially.
Right.
Although we have some commercial customers that wait and then don't do it. And then the next thing you know, breaks again. And then they're down. They're down until we can get a new spring. Mm-hmm. And we keep, gosh, I don't even know how many springs we keep in stock. But inevitably, it's not the right size, especially commercially, because there's four dimensions that can be affected.
Right.
You have wind. wire size, length, and ID. So,
got it. But I think that this is a great idea. If you want to help Dad out, you know, he's struggling with a garage door.
Yeah.
You know, we have this special giveaway for Father's Day. You know, that might lead into Dad having the door looked at, using that gift card, or maybe you just taking care of a service call for Dad. But now it's not too early to think about the door.
No, it's not.
Tell us about the sale.
It's an annual sale that Raynor allows every dealer to do once a year, and it's just referred to as a Raynor truckload sale.
Mm-hmm.
We always have ours at the end of September so that if people are budgeting or, you know, they want to do it, it's consistent. They know. And then we usually have until October 15th to place the orders. But Raynor usually gives us some fairly significant discounts on some of the doors. And then some of the doors, the price point doors, we still get a discount, but it's not as nice. And then one thing they do for us, like all the time, it goes from a year-to-year basis, but this year we still have this offer. It's on the Aspen series, which is basically the same as the Centura you bought for the store. The only difference is they changed the section configuration, how they sit on top of each other, but otherwise the doors are identical. But the Aspen, you get $125 off of regular prices for singles and $225 off of regular prices for doubles. That's pretty significant.
That's nice. Yeah. That really is.
And they're nice doors. They're great doors.
And I think the other key element behind the doors that we're talking about is that you're able to match them with the color of your home, trim.
They will custom color. And again, this is at an additional charge, but they'll custom color anything on that whole Sherwin-Williams wheel thing, that paint wheel thing. They can custom color anything. And then if you have it done at the factory as opposed to done at the house, it's baked on enamel. So it's a good finish.
It's nice. Yeah. I know that I was looking at those colors, and the standard white, it was very close to our house trim, which is called Birch Mist.
Uh-huh.
So it really, you couldn't really tell that much of a difference. I thought, yes.
749 B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Margie from Bushelman Supply in with us. We need to pause for a moment. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation about Father's Day and gift ideas. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have Margie, our friend from Bushelman Supply, in with us. And I want to remind you one more time to make certain that you jump on to B105.com, go to the In and Around the House page, and register to win the gift card giveaway, Father's Day gift card giveaway. You get a $100 gift card from Bushelman Supply and a $100 gift card from Jackson Florist. And again, Margie, it's been a pleasure having you join us today. We want to wrap up a couple of things, Tony. And you were talking about some benches when we were in the break, so there's a lot more than just stones.
Oh, a lot of stuff. I was just going through their website, excuse me, and you got a lot of, like, animals and different statues.
Yeah, we have
statues.
A lot of whimsical things.
Whimsical. Well, you know, a lot of people like to use whimsical things to
in their garden,
and jazz it up.
Sure.
You have I like that granite lantern you have, like a lighthouse.
Yes, yeah. It's pretty, yeah.
That is cool.
We have some that are cement too that are nice and they're a lot cheaper, but the granite is really beautiful.
Right.
It's all like hand carved.
And you have the polished bird baths. I like those a lot.
Yeah.
And tell me about. I like the directional post too. The Wonder Spheres. Tell me about that again.
The Wonder Spheres are hand carved. Well, I shouldn't say that. They may be carving with a machine, but they're carved, and and we have little ones and we have big ones. I think the big ones are maybe 3 or 4 inches, but they are spheres inside of spheres. And the stone, there's no seam on the stone. So, because that's always been a big deal. Everybody tries to figure out how they do it. Some of the guys think they do it with a water jet. Some of them think they do it with some kind of laser. But anyway, they're balls inside of balls, and they're all free spinning and stuff. Then the outside sphere is carved. The inside ones are
that's
smooth,
pretty cool.
But they're all inside of each other.
Those are neat.
Yeah, they're neat. They're one of those conversation pieces.
A lot of gift-giving ideas here. Yeah, and I really like the rock faces. You know, you got the excited rock, the happy and angry rock.
Yeah, we have an angry one, too.
I like that. Yeah. I've seen that look on my dad's face a lot of times.
We refer to that as a poopy face.
Yeah. Those are hilarious.
Yeah, they are.
I love them. Dad, that's what I'm getting you.
Yeah.
You know what? I got my dad one time. I must have been mad at him. It was a statue of a donkey, like reared back, sitting on his rear end.
Quarter?
Yeah, that's what I gave my dad for Father's Day.
Good move.
You know what I always say? If the shoe fits, you have to wear it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know something else too, real quick. We were talking in one of the breaks about water features,
right?
And a lot of people, especially this time of year when they've taken care of most of the landscape needs and got, you know, they have everything settled in from a plant standpoint.
Right.
Then they come back and they start looking at various spots or voids in the garden. They're looking for rock features or water features. You sell the stones with the bubblers. I see you also had those basalt columns.
Yeah, the basalt columns are neat.
I love those.
Yeah, they're different.
So those are drilled out.
Right.
And then tell me a little bit about the basins that you have to offer for this.
Well, we have the largest basin that we can find. It's about a 4x4. And then typically the basin has grading, and your pump sits in the bottom, and then your boulder sits on top. This big basin has like four columns up in through the center of it. And what you do is flip it over and fill those with concrete. And then when you fill it, your boulder sits on those resting points and it beefs it all up. But, you know, you can do that basin's about $500, but you can do the same thing with a piece of rubber liner for a whole lot cheaper. Mm-hmm. What the trick is, though, to get the grating. That's not so easy to find. And that can be kind of pricey, but we can, you know, there's plastic grating and metal grating. I would recommend metal grating because I've got one at home and it was plastic and over the years, it kind of bowed. So all we did was put a couple pieces of angle iron under it and put the grating back on there, and it's good now. But the plastic over time will still bow because of the weight of the
board. Right, right. Now, do you, at Bushman Supply, do you carry pumps?
Yes.
So various size pumps?
Yep.
Do you carry, like, pumps for people who have sizable, like, small ponds? Or, I mean, like, something where they want a bubbler out in the center of it to keep that water movement?
We have, I've been fighting a sore throat.
You sound like you got
a bubbler there. Okay.
We just got a shipment in. Oh, goodness.
It doesn't sound like it's going to go away. Just
our largest pump that we have in stock is, I think, 3,200 gallons. So.
That's a lot of gallons.
Yeah.
Per hour, right?
Yes, that's GPH, yes. In fact, we just redid ours. Our pump on the display has been growling for a year and a half, and we just tore everything apart and redid it, and it quit. But I think on our display, and I want to say our display pond, I want to say is 9,500 gallons, maybe 10,000. But that pump is, I think, 4,800 GPH.
Wow. It can do some recirculating right
there. Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of movement.
Yeah. So
you carry all the tubing and stuff that's necessary for those size of ponds?
Yeah. We have some non-kink tubing.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who've done that, if you don't use that, the other tubing's kind of a pain in the neck.
Oh, it can be.
It's like a hose. If it gets crimp in it, you're screwed up. So,
Margie, thank you so much for coming in again, and thank you for the little treat you always manage to bring.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
And have yourself a great weekend. Don't forget to go on B105.com and click on In and Around the House page to get registered for the Father's Day gift card giveaway, $100 from Bushman, $100 from Jackson Supply. And happy Father's Day to all that are fortunate enough to be fathers.
Yes, happy Father's Day.
We'll talk to you next week.